I'm having hanging Chad moments. Hello, US correspondent Susan Davis of NPR. We can argue over anything. Was that Chad? Was that Chad clicked here or clicked there? Goodness me.
I'm already having stress about what's to come in November in our country. So.
The big theory now is how contested would the outcome be, but let's get there first, all right? Look, let's just touch at the moment on the pandemic, the standoff between the White House and Congress over what comes next. This is with respect to economic support in particular, I think, and the president's gone off on his own again, writing orders. What exactly is he trying to do?
Well, the big disagreement right now between Democrats and the White House is over what the cost of this measure should be. And Democrats have held pretty firm to their original position, which was the Democrats passed back in May a measure for $3.4 trillion. Their most recent offer that was rejected by the White House is that they were willing to meet them halfway. Senate Republicans had put up a proposal, although they didn't have the votes to pass it, but they had put up a proposal for about $1 trillion. And they said, let's meet in the middle, somewhere around two, and that was rejected. There's a lot of complicated politics at play here. On the one hand, you have in the Senate, Republicans really for the first time backing away from the president here. The president has in the past shown no problem at all with spending significant amounts of money regardless of the deficit. But we've seen a real pushback among Senate Republicans who have said they're just not going to do it this time. And the Senate Majority Leader has been candid that he has 20 to 30 members who won't vote for anything that spends more money. So the president has to save some face, and he's using executive orders, somewhat stretching the bounds of presidential authority, at least by intention, if not by the letter of the law, to try to address some of the ongoing concerns in this country. Unemployment is still very high, and enhanced unemployment benefits ran out several weeks ago. He's trying to extend those on his own. The problem with executive orders is it's kind of a blunt instrument. It's a sloppy way to do policy, and it doesn't always have the intended outcome. So the test will be is, do these executive orders do enough to calm the concerns of Americans in this country? Right now, the president's back's up against the wall a bit. The majority of the country doesn't think he's done a good job handling the pandemic, so it's a bit of a Hail Mary pass.
Is it Nancy Pelosi in particular, House Speaker and Democrats, House Speaker, who is holding back? Their insistence is we're not going to agree to anything that what involves cost cutting. What's their position?
Their position is that Republicans' position doesn't do enough. Their measure goes so far as to do things like protect people from evictions and homeowners and gives more money to employers, extends benefits to people that don't have them, unemployment benefits. I mean, it's just a much more expansive view of government. There's a big philosophical decide there over how much government intervention it is. What Democrats have to their advantage right now is if you look back to earlier this year when Congress, with a huge bipartisan margins, passed about $3 trillion of assistance at the onset of this crisis. It was called the CARES Act. It is singularly one of the most popular pieces of legislation the modern Congress has ever passed. I mean, it is overwhelmingly popular in this country and people supported what it did. So I think Democrats saying, hey, let's double down, let's do that again, is something that most of the country would probably like. In some form or capacity, almost every American household needs some help right now. And so their point is they're to hold firm because they think even if Republicans won't budge, will public sentiment force Republicans to come back to the table? But we may have to wait a few weeks, even a month, to see how this shakes out economically and whether we see any shift in the public.
What are some of the headline numbers saying about the economy? The unemployment rate was getting to frightening highs. What are some of the key economic measures that are really sobering?
Well, I think that what the White House and Republicans were hoping for is that we would see what they would call a V-shaped recovery, that by this time, by, you know, looking at September into October, we'd start to see a sharper uptick in economic strength. That isn't really happening. It's not as stagnant as many had feared. I mean, businesses are opening back up. People are going back to work. Incrementally, jobs are getting, people are going back into the workforce. But it's a little stagnant right now. And one of the things that we look towards to see about how people feel about the economy is consumer confidence. And Americans just don't feel very confident about their economic security. And one thing we're going to see very soon, as I mentioned, those enhanced unemployment benefits that ran out, a lot of Americans are going to have to start making a decision. Do I make my car payment? Do I have to pay my mortgage late? Maybe I don't need my prescription drugs this month. And we may start to really actually see that impact in the economy sooner than we think. If people start paying their credit card bills, not paying their debts, we're going to see that. And that is an economic crunch that is going to exacerbate sort of the politics of the moment as well.
Well, particularly if it becomes a financial crunch, which is a fear flagged by a former prime minister here who's now chair of one of our major banks, and something we don't want to think about adding to the current volatile mix. But that's the risk if people start defaulting, I guess, and the financial system comes under pressure. Mm. Could we talk about where Joe Biden, the Democratic nominee, is at with finding a running mate? I know he's been vetting all sorts of people. There have been all sorts of names out there. When will that be announced?
Well, the convention is set to begin next week, and historically they make the nomination or their pick known in the days leading up to the convention. We are literally waiting for the news to break at any minute. There has been much speculation over who the final shortlist is going to be. Our sources in our reporting suggest it still is narrowed down to a pretty small universe. Biden has always made clear it would be a woman. One of the big debates that we're seeing play out among Democrats right now is should it be a woman of color or not? And there was a bit of a trial balloon floated where there was reporting that he had met with Governor Gretchen Whitmer. She's the governor of the state of Michigan here. She is a white woman. And there was a fair amount of debate among Democratic circles and Democratic operatives saying that would be the wrong call, that Joe Biden has won the nomination in large part because of the support of black voters in this country, and that he should honor that and repay that by elevating a black woman. That means it's a pretty small universe of people, and that is why so much speculation continues to center around Kamala Harris, his former rival for the nomination, senator from California. Even if there has been reporting and certainly some speculation as to whether they have sort of the personal chemistry, whether he actually wants her to be his running mate. And the curious thing about Joe Biden is, he's done this job. He knows what it takes and he knows what he's looking for. And that's sort of the question none of us can answer right now.
Well, that's where Susan Rice's name has come into it as someone who's had experience in cabinet. However,
and not being someone who's been vetted in sort of the political arena, I think Susan Rice is, they have a good warm personal relationship. That matters a lot. This is all really about personal chemistry in the end of the day. The vice president doesn't ultimately have much of an electoral sway on which way the ticket moves in November. It's really about the presidents and the candidates running. But I think that the problem with Susan Rice has is it's a bit of a backward-looking ticket. They were high-profile figures in the Obama administration. Elections are still about the future, and I think there's a risk involved in looking like you're trying to go too closely, too similar to the past. There has to be some kind of nod to what's to come for the party.
Well, I shouldn't be ageist either, but it's a four-year term, and you want someone who, if necessary, can become president as well, has always occurred to my mind.
Biden has been candid about that. It needs to be someone who's ready on day one.
Thank you very much for your commentary. That is our US correspondent, Susan Davis, congressional correspondent for NPR and co-host of the NPR Politics podcast.